Today is the conclusion of our Lenten series called Hallelujah, What a Savior. And the title of today's message is Dinner at Your Place. And I thought about calling this series Dinner with Jesus because you may have noticed, I hope you've noticed, that one of the themes tying this all together is Jesus sharing a meal, welcoming people to his table, and particularly Jesus inviting those that were marginalized, those that were outcast, that Jesus invited them to his table. And I think I told you a week or two ago about my experience of sharing a communal meal in Ethiopia. There was about eight people. I'd never eaten a meal in this way before. About eight people around a low table. And in the middle of that table was a platter with meat, little chunks of meat and vegetables cooked in a kind of a stir fry. And then there's this bread that's like a big, great big pancake called injera. And you eat with only your right hand. And if you're like me and forgetful, you learn to sit on your left hand because it's very bad manners to eat with your left hand. And so with one hand, you tear off a piece of the injera, you scoop up some of the meat and veggies and put it in your mouth. And so everybody around the table is eating from the same, you don't have utensils and there's no individual plates. That's very similar to the way people shared a meal at the time of Jesus. Low table, reclining at the table, eating with your hand. Now, if you invite me over to your house, and I stick my hand at the dinner table, if I stick my hand in the serving bowl, I think I might not get invited back again. But that's the way that they ate. At the time of Jesus, when you ate with somebody, you really ate with somebody. And it wasn't just about food. It was about acceptance. It was about inclusion. It was about community. And so as Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, this is his final journey to Jerusalem where the cross is out in front of him, where he's going to lay down his life for you and for me. He knows that's out in front of him, and he makes one final stop in Jericho. If you're traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem, Jericho is the last kind of significant town that you would pass through on your way. And as Jesus got into Jericho, he welcomed somebody. He welcomed himself to somebody's table, but it was somebody on the outside, and it caused quite a stir. So let me read to you from Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for Jesus was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus is passing through Jericho. He's on the way to Jerusalem, where the cross is waiting for him. And he picked a tax collector. Now, did you notice Jesus just invited himself over? I love that. You know, we like to talk about people seeking Christ and inviting Christ into your... He's coming, invitation or not. Tax collectors, of course, were collaborators with Rome, who enriched themselves by overcharging. They had a quota that they had to pay to the Roman authorities. Anything they collected over and above that was theirs to keep. They were hated. They were despised. Zacchaeus not only was a tax collector, the text tells us he was a chief tax collector. So he's probably one of the wealthiest guys in town. Verse 3 says, Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was. I wonder why. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was about to pass that way. Now that's astounding. In that culture, it was considered undignified for a grown man to run. We admire a grown man. We see out running, right? A grown person, man or woman. We say, wow, maybe you say that. I say they're crazy. But seriously, we value that. But at the time of Jesus and his culture, for a grown man to run was considered undignified. Zacchaeus not only runs, he climbs a tree like a 12-year-old so that he can see Jesus. And this is where it gets interesting. Not only does Zacchaeus see Jesus, but Jesus sees him and walks right under that tree and calls him by name. Zacchaeus. How does he know his name? Jesus said, "I know my sheep, not one of them is missing." Zacchaeus, come on down, for I must have come into your... I must stay at your house today. They're going to sit together. Going into the house for the day means they're going to share a meal together. They're going to break bread. And as you might expect, that caused quite a scandal. This story of Zacchaeus is a good story to remember. On those days when you wake up and you look in the mirror and you're pretty disappointed in the person you see looking back at you. And you wonder how Jesus can put up with the person in the mirror. This story is for you. When you feel you're far from God's grace, this story is for you. Just knowing that Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in that tree and called him by name and invited himself in. Wow. And the story also reveals the kind of behavioral changes that you might expect when Jesus invites himself in and when you open the door. Think about what happened to Zacchaeus. We're going to talk about him more later, but what happened to Zacchaeus through this encounter? There were some big changes in his life. What changes might Jesus call for in your life? What might be ignited in your soul? Well, in this text, there are three distinct reactions to Jesus. The first one is the people who were offended. We're going to look at them for a moment. And then there's the reaction of Zacchaeus and how Jesus affected him. And then there's Jesus himself and what he says about both Zacchaeus and then what he says about his mission. So the first reaction is the observers, who we are told grumbled. Verse 7 says, "And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Now, I really think that I might very well have had the same reaction. I am, after all, a Presbyterian minister. Yeah, there's a real temptation, and I can fall for it, and I just would just caution you, along with myself, don't fall for this temptation. I have a bad habit when I read the Bible, and I can see myself in the heroes of faith and not in the people who get it wrong every time. That's a little bit presumptuous. Let's go back in history a little bit and try to understand the Pharisees. Before the Romans came on the scene, and by the way, Judea, Israel, since Old Testament times, they had been under the thumb of a succession of foreign empires. And before the Romans got there, it was the Greeks, the Seleucid Empire. And the Greeks, when they took over Judea and began to dominate it, they brought in Greek idols, the Greek gods, and Greek morality. Many of the Jews recognized this as a foreign bacillus, a foreign infection that was going to pollute the faith that God had revealed to them. God revealed himself to the Jews, so let's just get used to that. God chose one people in the ancient world, the Jews, and revealed himself to them in a unique way. And when the Greeks came in with their influence, many of the Jews said, okay, the thing to do to fight this influence, this corrupting influence, is to resolve that we will not bend the knee to the Greek gods. And we will not conform ourselves to Greek morality. We are going to stand against this. We are going to remain firm. We are going to stand apart from this. And brothers and sisters, I can identify, can't you? Christianity has become a minority faith in this country. And in many, many ways, the powers that be in our culture no longer respect Christianity and, in fact, hold many of our beliefs in contempt and particularly hold our morality in contempt. We are narrow, we're judgmental, you know the list. So I know the desire to say, well, in fact, I do say, I will not bow down to your gods, and I will not adopt your ways. I'm going to stand apart from that. And among the Jews at the time of Jesus, and going back even to the time of the Greeks, the Pharisees said this movement had been going on for a long time before Jesus started his public ministry. They called themselves the separated ones. That's what Pharisee means, separated ones. So I get it, right? And people like Zacchaeus were compromisers. They were the problem. So when the crowd saw Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house, they grumbled. Of all the people Jesus could choose to eat with, why this slime ball? Now, let me give you another modern analogy. I personally hate, and this is another aspect of contemporary culture, I personally hate the idea of legalized marijuana. I despise it. And when I, you know, like when Charla and I, we travel over in Oregon or Washington or California, and I see those billboards advertising legalized pot and the shops that sell it, and the people are enriching themselves by taking advantage of people's weakness. Guess what? I grew up in the pot generation. I've never in my life seen anybody's life be improved by smoking pot. But I'll also confess this is an easy one for me to judge. I've never smoked pot in my life. I grew up in the pot generation, and I was at parties where it was passed around, and I took it from this guy and I gave it to this guy. Because I knew that the moment that thing went to my lips, my mother would walk through the door. Somehow she would know. Well, anyway, very seriously, I despise legalized pot. It's just, it's a corrupting influence on society. So imagine that Jesus comes into town and he finds the biggest pot dealer in town and says, I'm going to spend the day at your house. Jesus, come on. Don't bless that. Don't bless that with your presence. Okay, so the second reaction is Zacchaeus. At some point during the dinner, and it's interesting that Luke doesn't fill us in on any details. We don't know anything about the conversation at that dinner. But at some point, Zacchaeus stood up to make an announcement, and Luke does tell us he spoke directly to Jesus. And he said, "Behold, Lord." Wow. He calls Jesus Lord. He's a believer. He's become a believer. "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And by the way, that's the biblical Old Testament standard for restoration. In Exodus chapter 22, it says that if somebody steals a lamb, and the thief is caught, if the lamb is still alive when it's returned, the thief owes two lambs in restitution. If the real owner finds his lamb on the thief's barbecue, four lambs make the restitution. So when Zacchaeus stands up and says, "I will restore fourfold from anyone I've defrauded," and that's just about everybody in town, he's paying the maximum restitution. When you come to Christ, when he invites himself in and you let him, expect a new heart of generosity and a heart that desires to make things right. And even with people that may be in your past a long time ago, and you can't fix everything, that's impossible. There are things that cannot be undone. But a heart that belongs to Jesus wants to make restitution, wants to at least say, I'm sorry, and do what you can to make it right. This is normal behavior for people who follow Jesus. Generosity and justice. Generosity and restitution. The third reaction is that of Jesus himself. After Zacchaeus stood up and made his announcement of generosity and restitution, Jesus says, verse 9, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus has been welcomed into God's family. He's been restored as a son of Abraham. He belongs. He's not cut off. All of the blessings of the promise to Abraham, all of the belonging to Abraham's descendants, he's included. He's embraced. He's not cut off despite his sinful choices. Now remember, Jesus is on his way to Jericho. He's on his way to the cross where he's going to carry Zacchaeus' sin on the cross, where he's going to die in Zacchaeus' place to take the punishment that's due Zacchaeus. And he's going to die there to take the punishment that's due to you and that's due to me. And then Jesus said something about his mission. He said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus said he's like a shepherd who has 99 sheep safe in the fold and one lost. And he goes out into the darkness and he searches until he finds that lamb and he brings it home. Jesus said he's like a woman who had 10 coins and lost one. And she cleaned her house, she turned that place upside down looking until she found that coin. Like a father whose son took off in rebellion, and father scanned the horizon every day until his son came home and then ran out and embraced him. But he had another son, a Pharisaic son, who was working really hard to please the father but was way out in the darkness because he thinks he can work his way in. And the father goes out into the darkness, remember? The older son. And the father pled with him to come in. You know something, brothers and sisters? You cannot escape the searchlight of Jesus. He will find you. He finds what he's looking for. He does not search in vain. And he said he came into the world to seek out and save the lost. And he found Zacchaeus, and he didn't even give an altar call. He said, I'm coming to your house. Now, Zacchaeus did have to open the door. You know, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are those like Zacchaeus who are lost and know it. And then there are those like the Pharisees who are lost and don't know it. If you've been lost and you know it, congratulations. You're very close to the kingdom of God. You're very close to the Father's house. And I want you to notice something. All you have to do is climb it down out of your tree Do not be a spectator. Have you ever been a spectator with Jesus? Watching him from a distance? Climbed up your tree. Don't be a spectator with Jesus. Climb down. He's inviting himself into your house, into your life. Open the door. Now, I don't know what Jesus is going to ask you to do. I don't know the changes that he's going to call for. That's between you and Jesus. Zacchaeus had some house cleaning to do. And so do you, and so do I. But I want you to notice something. Zacchaeus was not transformed because Jesus scolded him. And he certainly wasn't transformed because the community condemned him and rejected him. He was transformed because Jesus interrupted his life and moved right into his life and loved him. There's a very well-known verse, Revelation 3:20. Remember, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will do what? I will come in and eat with him and him with me." Intimate table fellowship. When you open that door, well, Zacchaeus was declared a son of Abraham. When you open that door, you're declared a son of God, a daughter of God, adopted into God's family. And that, brothers and sisters, is a status that cannot be achieved. It can only be received. Won't you open the door? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let's pray. Father, we thank you for our Savior Jesus and for this surprising, radical ministry of welcoming the outcast. The ones, Lord, that we confess, Lord, mostly religious people in this room. People we might not be comfortable with, Jesus specialized in. But Lord, that even uptight religious people like us can come to. And whatever we have done, O Father, that has violated your holy law, show us. Give us hearts of generosity. Give us hearts of justice to make it right when we can. But most of all, to trust ourselves to your grace and your welcome as you invite us to your table. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.